Hello, everyone, and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host, Annie Bisher, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together, we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the fashion, the first dance, and beyond. No wedding-related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a not-so-newlywed who just can't let that wedding world go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode, and get stuck in. My guest today is Ashita Kabra, founder of By Rotation. That's the world's first social network that lets you lend and rent designer fashion. Ashita, firstly, thank you so much for joining me. Secondly, you got married in 2018. Am I right in thinking that's a year before you launched By Rotation?
That's correct. I actually used my wedding and then my honeymoon as inspiration for founding By Rotation.
Wow. You don't do things by halves. You have my full admiration. So firstly, before we get onto your wedding, what inspired you to create By Rotation?
Yeah. So, I was planning my honeymoon just after getting married. And I was thinking about all the amazing outfits I wanted to wear to this trip of a lifetime. We were going to go back to Rajasthan in India, where I was born, because my husband's not Indian. And I wanted to show him where I'm from, reconnect with my roots. And, that's when I started thinking about how it'd be so cool to be able to rent clothing just for this 2.5 week long trip. And it became very clear to me that there was a dearth of options for fashion renting in the UK and even Europe. And globally, when I looked at what was out there, it seemed to be very inventory heavy solutions. So subscription models where everything was pretty outdated when I looked at the websites and the apps. And it wasn't very, on trend and current, not beautiful dresses like the Kalita dress that I'd want to wear in the desert. So that's when I thought, there's something missing here. And I have a feeling it needs to be a bit more community oriented, where you see a lot of women who are wearing new clothes all the time on social media, outfit of the day. What about getting them to actually share what they have, because they seem to have a lot?
I mean, we're going to come onto this later, but first, obviously, we need to talk about your wedding. And I'm so interested that your wedding had such an impact in your desire to create that space and to give those options to people, because you're totally right. I mean, I probably wasn't even aware of any rental platforms at that time because it just wasn't tapping into that audience. And you successfully done that. I mean, that's an understatement, but I'm dying to get onto more of the opportunities around renting in the wedding space. But before that, let's set the scene of your own wedding. Who did you marry and how did you meet?
So my husband is James, and we actually met a few years before we got married while planning a conference together. So he was the president and I was one of the four vice presidents of the conference. And I love power, and the rest is history, I suppose. But yeah, I would say it almost feels like now we've grown up together. We met in the early days of our professions. So I kind of feel like we really evolved as life partners, but I think we were really friends first.
That's so important. And I guess when you're meeting at that very seminal moment and you're both kickstarting careers, but also the side hustle that you will become best known for, you see how capable that other person is of supporting and championing you in those moments. And that must be so important in that relationship.
Yeah, he actually really encouraged me to leave my full-time career in finance. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm not going to have any money for a few years because I'm going to be using my savings to bootstrap the business. I won't be able to afford most of the things I love to do, such as Pilates and yoga and brunch on the weekend. But he really supported me and said, I think this might actually be your life calling. And I feel like you've always wanted to do more in life. So just take a chance and, we'll take care of the rest together as a couple. And he's been so supportive, to date, where my life is still quite a bit busy and crazy. He's still, so encouraging. He always wants me to be, he's like, you have to be in the limelight. You have to be in the spotlight. Like, you deserve it. You should take it. You should, you don't really feel that sort of competition between us as a couple, which I think can happen, especially when there's, a big sort of life change, which there has been. with bi-rotation becoming so well known in the UK and most recently the US.
Absolutely. And you really are, quite rightly, obviously, the face of that brand. And I think when you said that your schedule is busy and crazy, that must be such a huge understatement right now.
Yeah. And it's funny, right? Because now on the weekdays, you know, my husband and I, we will be around each other because my office is around the corner from my apartment and he spends a few days working from home. But even on those days, we don't really talk much. You know, it's very superficial conversations. So for me, the weekends in particular, I have this strict rule where I'm like, guys, you know, I tell my friends, I tell people in the industry, friends, you know, I say, I don't really want to be doing things on the weekend unless it's serious work because I need to spend time with my husband and my dog. Like I actually need to build on that relationship.
It's all about boundaries. So talk me through how he actually managed to pin you down for the proposal.
Oh, well, this one isn't very romantic. My parents found out that I had a boyfriend, which I suppose is not, it's not encouraged in my culture. So I'm from India and I grew up in Singapore. And, you know, my parents, I guess my dad in particular, wasn't very happy with the fact that I wanted to be with someone who was not Indian. So when they found out, you know, I would say all hell broke loose. And my husband had to very quickly ask my dad for my hand in marriage. And then actually formally proposed to me. So yeah, it wasn't very, I would say, romantic. You know, he swept me off my feet and you know, I never expected it and all of that. It wasn't really like that. It was more like, oh, we're in trouble. Let's fix this and let's quickly get married.
But a mark of your relationship and, you know, how you both reacted to that situation. I think there is a romance in that.
Yes, yeah. And I think that again showed what kind of partnership we have. You know, we're very much problem solvers together. We don't, you know, when it comes to fight or flight, we're definitely fighters. You know, we want to make things work and we want to find a way through it. Even if it's not, you know, as romantic and the fairy tale romance that we kind of read about and heard when we were growing up.
And you seem like such a proactive and strategic team together. Is that how you tackled planning your wedding?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he was very helpful in things like tables. So again, you know, with Indian culture and Hindu weddings, there's not really a concept of having, you know, sit down tables where you've got table seating plans. In fact, we did that for our, well, we did that more for our dinners. So our wedding was over 2.5 days. And all the dinners we had, there was always a sit-down plan. And then for lunch, it would be free flow, you know, kind of, you know, that'd be like a buffet sort of system and you'd help yourself, you'd be, you know, catered to. But it was never like a sit-down lunch plan. And I think, interestingly enough, for us, given that, you know, we had people traveling from all over the world. So, you know, I had cousins and family and friends from Singapore and India predominantly as well. And I think some of them culturally didn't really like the idea of a table seating plan because it kind of meant they were being put into groups and not able to kind of interact and, you know, meet other guests. So actually that was quite, you know, it was a difficult balance that we had to kind of work out, which is why I told James to take care of the cultural aspects of an English wedding. And myself to handle the Hindu wedding traditions.
And what did you make of that balance? So if you're talking me through the run of events from the mehndi to the wedding itself, how did you embrace tradition and how did you decide to change things up?
Yeah, so my husband's not very religious and I'm Hindu and as is my family. So it had to be a Hindu wedding, which he was very comfortable and happy with and his family was very excited about. So, you know, we had this understanding that we would do the wedding as per Hindu traditions. So, you know, it begins, well, I mean, there's like a whole, you know, bridal ceremony that happens before that the groom and his family wouldn't be involved in, where the bride actually gets her mehndi privately done. But then we had the mehndi event, which is like the opening event. It's very fun. It's bringing all your friends together, especially from the bride side. And then we had the sangeet, which is like, I want to call it like almost like your cocktail night where friends of the bride and groom, friends and family of the bride and groom would dance for the couple and it would become a big sort of party where there would be you know, dancing, dinner, and sort of, you know, I guess traditionally it's also the night where you get engaged in India and in Hindu culture. You get engaged the night before you get married, which I know is so different to what happens, you know, in the Western culture. But that's traditionally the night that you would get engaged in front of everyone with a ring and a cake and all of that. So, you know, we just had our dances and we had like a black tie night. The theme of that was celestial ball, because my husband loves space and I love science fiction too. So it was perfect. And I had a custom made outfit from Gaurav Gupta, which is actually a designer who is known for his, you know, very space and celestial kind of aesthetic. You know, I think Beyonce recently wore him for her space cowboy outfits on her tour. So I'm glad that he's getting the recognition he's been due for a long time. And then after that, we had the next day, we had Haldi, which is like a purifying Hindu ritual, which follows with a Hindu prayer. And that was something that was very important to my religious relatives. So, you know, we had like a proper prayer where all our guests, you know, many of who weren't actually Hindu, actually really began to understand what was happening and what weddings in India are like. You know, the fact that this is very much seen as, you know, the bride is being given away by her family. And, you know, this is like her first time being with a man, I suppose. So that was very much, I would say, you know, a kind of a cultural experience for all our guests. And then finally, we had the fere, which is when you actually get married by taking 7 rounds around the fire, fire being the witness to your matrimony. And we had like a Hindu priest who, you know, he said his prayers in Sanskrit, but then he explained what was happening in English, which actually was very important to everyone in my family, including my parents, because, well, firstly, most of us don't understand Sanskrit. And actually, my parents wanted everyone to have an appreciation of what was happening at our Hindu wedding and ceremony. And it's so sweet. You know, I just look at some of the photos and videos that my friends took, and you can see all of them tearing up. And, you know, they've captured all these emotions that, I don't know, I think it was so important for me to make it clear, you know, to friends and family that, you know, that even though I'm marrying someone who's not Indian, it doesn't mean that my Hindu and Indian identity disappear. And that's why we had a very Anglo-Indian wedding.
And how, you know, when there's so much involved, do you hit on the perfect venue?
Oh, I mean, this is crazy, but this is just who I am. I saw Hetzer House, and that was the first venue we looked at. It is across my husband's family home. So it's very meaningful and special to him and his family. And that was the first venue we looked at. And time was running out because my dad was changing his mind every other day about me being with James. So my mom was like, you need to make a quick decision and we need to make sure you get married quickly. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be very hard to manage. And so that was the first venue we looked at, which my mother-in-law recommended. And we loved it. And we said, yep, we're getting married here. That's it. It's done. It's fine. And I mean, this is how I am. You know, it's the same thing I've done with the bi-rotation offices. I literally, you know, woke up one day and said, we want to get an office for bi-rotation. Found some places online, booked a viewing. The first place I viewed, I made an offer and we moved in 1.5 weeks later. So I think for me, sometimes, you know, if I look at it and it makes sense, it clicks, I'm very efficient with those sort of things. Like I can just see it and I want to make it happen and just move on forwards, I suppose, like problem solve, I guess. And it's the same thing I do with all the places we've moved into.
The mind of an entrepreneur, I'm full of admiration, as I said before.
But I suppose maybe it shows that I'm not that romantically attached to these sort of, I guess, decisions, these sort of factors on a wedding day. And it's something I kind of noticed, you know, like, you know, now, because we didn't take a year to plan our wedding. And I think some of these things are so special to a couple. But for us, we were like very much of the mindset that the wedding day will be a beautiful day. It'll be a memorable day. It'll be a day for our family and friends. and it'll be a celebration of our love, but it certainly won't be the only day that we'll do this. If anything, it's just the beginning of how things are going to get better and better for us as a couple. So we very much had those we didn't want to have expectations that this is going to be the best day of our life.
That's such a beautiful sentiment, though. And let's not do you a disservice, because this was not a small undertaking. This was not a small wedding. And you did this in 6 months, I'm right in thinking.
Yeah. So within 6 months, I'd even say 4 to 6 months, to be honest with you. I mean, it was very, you know, it was very efficient. And to be honest with you, I'm glad we did it when we did it, because, you know, I didn't want all these sort of external factors, again, around my family and my relatives getting involved. And once we got married, it was insane how much love we received from all our family and friends, you know, and even my dad, who, you know, has come around completely the other way, where he loves my husband more than me.
Well, it's like you said, that it's that mix. First of all, you've got a few days with everybody, which I always think makes a huge difference. It's not a kind of in the morning, see you later at midnight, carriages at midnight, that sort of thing. But also the events that you just talked me through, there was such a beautiful balance between celebration and joyfulness and solemnity.
Yes. And yeah, I think I kind of wanted to, you know, because we're getting married in the UK, you know, my husband's British, you know, he's not Indian. And we were making visitors travel from all over the world, especially Asia. I just wanted to make them feel very welcome and make them fully understand that I'm not forgetting my roots and my culture. And that's something that's so important to me to date, something I'm very vocal about, I hope, as well.
Let's get granular. You've spoken to me about a couple of your wedding outfits. Were there any others that stood out that you had real fun in hitting on?
So I love the colors green and pink. I grew up just loving those colors together as a combination. And it's crazy because they're also birotations of colors now. I didn't do that on purpose. Or maybe I did. I don't know.
Subconscious. It's all subconscious.
Exactly. And I remember for the mehendi. So, you know, we had 4 dress codes at our wedding. It was intense. Like, the website and the invites had like crazy dress codes. And I was very particular. You know, my mom was like, yeah, for haldi, because it's turmeric, so it's going to be marigold sunrise, you know, celestial ball. Mehendi is always shades of green and pink. And then fairy was, you know, smart and traditional, but not wearing red. You're not meant to wear red. Only the bride and the groom are meant to wear red if they wish. But so I think one of the very fun outfits that I love is my mehendi outfit. And I remember shopping for it in India. Again, I had to, you know, go to India for like 5 days and quickly do my wedding shopping to get the outfits I wanted. And God, I mean, that was a whole thing, you know, because when you speak to Indian designers and, like, you know, you go to India and you go shopping and you say, oh, I love this outfit. Do you have it in a different color? Do you have the scarf in a different color? They'll be like, yeah, everything's customizable. Whatever you want, just tell us. We can make it. And I'm like, that's great, but I'd love to see what it looks like. They're like, don't worry, we'll make it. It'll be custom made, you know, altered. And I'm like, no, I need to see it. So it was quite confusing. It was overwhelming, the amount of choice I was being, you know, presented, the options. And so eventually I had picked this Anushri Reddy lehenga for my mehendi outfit, which was, I want to say, like lime green. And the scarf was yellow. And I was like, well, I need pink in it because we said green and pink. So can you change the scarf to pink? And my mom was like, oh, I don't like this whole outfit. And you don't even know what the scarf is going to look like and if it'll look good together. And I was like, no. I've got a vision. Trust me. And my mom really did not like this outfit. For her, this was her least favorite outfit. And now it's crazy because it's an outfit that has rentals almost every other week on the Birotation app. I've made so much money on it. And, you know, I get so many compliments, and anyone who rents it for me tells me, like, how they stole the show at the wedding to the point where the bride is unhappy. And I was like, okay, well, I did say it's one of my wedding outfits in the listing description. But no, like, that is, I think, my favorite outfit. It's so beautiful. I feel like a princess. And yeah, it's very flattering. It's like Indo-Western, you know, it's got a blouse that's quite modern, I've worn it with jeans and high-waisted trousers before. And I love that sort of aesthetic. So I think that's one of my favorites. And I would say, you know, I had that green and pink vision for it, which no one could see. So yeah, it has to be that as another standout. I think looking back, I'm not so sure about some of my outfits. And that's okay. That's okay. I think, you know, you kind of see these things like later and after. But yeah, I think, again, as I mentioned, I'm not very precious about, I loved our wedding. It was very special. But I really had this kind of pragmatic and rational approach to it, which is, I hope that this is not the best day of my life because I want there to be so much more in the future.
I think that's how everybody should look at it. And also the fact that weddings, I think people put a lot of pressure on themselves to have their wedding represent their whole life, past, present, and future. And they just can't. They're a moment in time that you've just got to take as is and enjoy it for what it is and know that there'll be the odd thing you look back on and think, well, why did I invite them? Or why did I wear that?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, why did I pose this way? And oh my God, I didn't take photos with my favorite friend or whatever. I never had a Pinterest mood board or anything, to be honest with you. I didn't even know that you're meant to have like a test, like makeup, like you're meant to test your makeup. I didn't even know that. And my older sister was like, yeah, you need to do that. And I was like, why? And she's like, because on the day you need to know exactly what foundation, like, you know, what colors. You don't want to be upset if it doesn't look good. And then you have to like, you know, it takes a lot of time and you have to be at events and stuff and there's timings. So I didn't even understand that. So I was so, let's say I was so, I don't know, like not fussy about these things, which is crazy because I am generally a very particular person, but I think maybe less so for things like that. And so, yeah, we did have a specific look for each one of the four events that were for the public, for everyone. And yeah, I mean, again, you know, looking back at it, you know, I think I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have put my hair up on this. Oh no, I forgot to wear all the jewelry. Actually, I did forget to wear my jewelry for one of the outfits. And my mom was like, what's the point? Like, we bought all this jewelry for you. But yeah, it's such a mad rush if you're doing four events in 2 days, you know, and there's so many people. And the other thing with, you know, an Indian wedding is people get offended if you don't let them come and talk to the bride. Like, you know, even though Hetzer House has the largest bridal suite in Europe, it did anyway back then. I just had so many people coming in the entire time. And my mom would be like, this is your second cousin, your third cousin. Say hello, say namaste. I'd be like, okay, great. Like, I'm not trying to be a bitch, but leave me alone, guys. Like, I'm in a mood right now. I'm nervous, you know? So yeah, it was quite overwhelming. And I think, you know, in hindsight, I think maybe I should have just picked maybe simpler wedding looks. But hey, I mean, I still, you know, still think they were great otherwise, but I could have gone simpler.
And do you remember having a wedding day perfume?
That was actually something very particular. So we did have, you know, the Diptyque really large candles, tuberose, burning throughout Hetzer House because I really, really love that scent. And actually, it's sort of similar to jasmine, which is the perfume I was wearing. And to date, I still wear that perfume. So I wear Dosan, again, by Diptyque. And also, when I go to India, whenever I get the chance to go back to Rajasthan, I actually buy like very purified jasmine from Jodhpur. So it's like the most pure, it's like in a vial, it's in like a perfume vial. You call it vial?
Yeah.
It's not branded or anything. It's actually from like a spice market store and it's very, very pure. And I love that. I love the scent of Indian jasmine in particular. And yeah, it was important for me to kind of, again, you know, embrace my culture and things that it's known for on the day.
And you've already spoken about renting out your wedding outfits and the kind of impact that has had. The scope for rentals in the wedding space has grown exponentially in the last few years. I see people renting out their wedding dresses like you, people renting looks throughout their wedding. Why do you think it's become so much more of a thing? And what sort of options are there out there for brides who are keen to borrow rather than buy, whether some or all of their wedding looks?
Yeah, so, you know, there's that whole something blue, something. There's something old, something blue, something borrowed. And it's so cute because a lot of brides are using that, especially for the, you know, we started seeing, you know, people dabble in rental for their weddings because of this motto, and doing it a lot for civil ceremonies, like town hall weddings. But actually, you know, that was like maybe 2 years ago. Now we're seeing brides rent full-on gowns from other brides on the app. And I was surprised by that. And I love it. You know, there's a story that we had actually earlier, I think in April, of a bride renting her gown from another bride. And when she returned the gown, she returned it in person with a slice of wedding cake. And I was like, wow, these are the stories I'm living for. You know, this is what fills my cup. So I think it's so interesting to see how people are beginning to realize that weddings are experiences, you know, they're memories that we're creating and actually making them special and different in all kinds of ways, including, you know, thinking about sustainability and circular fashion. You know, that is actually something different and unique and memorable to you. And yeah, I mean, let's be honest, right? Like my four wedding outfits that I have, one of them, it's great. I rent it out quite a lot. The other two are way too elaborate and traditional. And the one is the Gaurav Gupta celestial gown, which is so dramatic that it's never gotten a rental request, even though it is on the app. So there's not a lot of use case scenarios for the wedding outfits that we have. And I think that's such a shame. The other thing I've been loving about it is I've seen some brides. I know Emily Chan at Vogue has done this. She dyed her wedding outfit into a navy color. And, you know, that allows her to wear it for like, you know, cocktail events and things like that. And I love that. I'm so pro that. And I totally alter my outfit, except they have crazy, crazy tutus under them.
And how do you feel? Because I would have said, this is what made me surprised that people were renting out their wedding gowns, is that you feel so attached to them, that they are so much a part of your day and that momentous occasion in your life, that I'm more open to it now because it is more, being done more regularly by people. But I imagine in the first instance, the desire to keep that for yourself is huge.
And then I think you realize, like, actually, you know, I can share this and give it to someone else who might just, you know, might not be able to afford Philippa Lepley or Jenny Peckham and things like that, but does want to feel very special on the day. And, you know, as long as they treat it with respect and care, then that shouldn't matter to me. It should just be a dry cleaning job, really. So I think that's how people are becoming much more pragmatic and less, as you say, emotionally attached. I mean, you know, for me, I will be honest, and I think you might have gathered it from what I've been sharing with you. I was definitely less precious about our wedding, given the circumstances we were getting married in. But I don't actually, even now, I think I'd be the same. It's not even the circumstances. I'm just like less bothered about things like that. And I also had four outfits, right? Which were, so for me, that wasn't like one specific dress where I'm like, no, no one can touch it. No one can have it. This was the dress that I wore the whole day. So I don't know. I think for me, I'm definitely seeing people become less emotionally attached to their clothing in the way that they don't want to share it with others. And I think that's a good way, you know, and that's a good thing that we should be embracing in terms of our psychology, changing and moving on from ownership to more accessibility and experiential, because that encourages people to share.
Absolutely. And you certainly become more open to it the 100th time you see it wilting away in your wardrobe, never to be worn again. And then obviously the kind of fashion world is your oyster when it comes to being a wedding guest. So talk me through some of the best looks you've rented for friends' weddings recently.
Well, I have one invite in October this year, which makes me feel like I have no friends, but actually, but also like I look at all my friends and I'm like, guys, can you get married? And they're like, can you get me a boyfriend? So anyway, that's a whole
separate question. That's fair.
Yeah. But so I think I rented this amazing Missoni green gown for my brother's. So my brother had three weddings. He had a court, you know, he had a town hall wedding. He had a Catholic wedding because his wife is French Argentinian. Then he had a Hindu wedding in Rajasthan in India. That was, you know, it was wild last year, right? But for the Catholic wedding in Paris, I wore a Missoni green gown that I rented on the Bi-Rotation app. And it was so special because, well, firstly, it's Bi-Rotation green, which I love, emerald green. And then secondly, it's a gown that cannot be bought anymore because I think it's probably from like 2016 or something. So they don't sell it, not even at outlet stores or anything. And thirdly, it was over £4,000, but I rented it for £300. So, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm assured that no one else is going to be wearing the same dress at the wedding. Because that's, you know, that would be like, uh-oh, everyone's in the same, like, I don't know, Zara dress or something like that. And then secondly, it was just, you know, one of those things which I really wanted to wear for a special occasion. And what could be more special than your brother's wedding? I love the fact that there's so much incredible stuff on the app. You know, there's Dolce & Gabbana gowns on there, you know, which you clearly know are D&G. And then there's Alessandra Rich dresses on there, which are just stunning for when you're speaking on a panel. There's so much. And then, you know, those Zimmermann couture pieces, which again, once they're sold, you can't buy them anymore. It's so nice finding all these very well-known pieces that, you know, were pretty expensive when they came out and are no longer sold anyway. So yeah, I think the app is fantastic. Weddings are like one of the top reasons that people rent.
I'm upset. I mean, I love the fact that you can go on there and type a brand in and search for a particular item now that it's so developed and so widely used that those options are there for you. The one I've got my eye on, I have to say, is one you've worn a lot. I was looking at your Instagram, that yellow Jacquemus.
Yes, that dress gets, I mean, I have women DMing me on Instagram saying, hey, I downloaded your app, but I can't find this dress. Are you not renting it anymore? Please, can I rent it? Yeah, it's that dress is, it's funny because I actually was, I was on a reel for Eliza, the publication recently. And, you know, I told them, this is my favorite dress. I want to be buried in it. Not that I would get buried because I'm Hindu. But it's just, it's one of those dresses where it's not sold anymore. It wasn't, you know, it was, I think maybe £900 when it came out. So not insanely, insanely expensive, but still kind of ridiculous. And I'm just like, I have to be so careful with it because it is actually a collector's piece now, I feel. And yellow, I would personally recommend to anyone, that's a color you need to be careful with. I think white, not so much. You know, you can use the craziest stain removers if there's a stain. But yellow, butter yellow, that too. But yeah, you can borrow it, Annie. Let me.
You're so kind. Thank you. And thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Annie, for having me. This was fun.
Thanks so much for listening to Words in a Wedding. If you liked the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already. And follow at Words in a Wedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.